God, our Father, we are very thankful again for you have given us this day. It is a brand new day. It holds for us much in possibility and promise. And we thank you, God, that throughout the furtherance of this day, we can rely on your protection. We can rely on your peace. And Lord, it is the peace that we need, the peace of God and peace with God. And Lord, when we have those things, our lives are whole. And we thank you, Lord, for again this opportunity to hear what you are saying to the church, your people. God, give us, if you will, listening ears and a heart that is ready to be fertilized and bring forth fruit in its season. Oh, God, give us the tongue that will speak these words to others. They may not have the opportunity to join us. So, Lord, when you release us from this early morning assignment, would you point us in the directions that you would have us to go? And Lord, as we are traveling along life's journey, let us never forget, let us never forsake the assignment of evangelism. Lord, we are the story to be told in Christ Jesus. Lord, you said that they would know the fruit and the tree. And God, by knowing that, they will know you as well. We just thank you, God. In fact, Lord, we're excited about the possibility. Lord, just the possibility gets us excited. We yet to know, Lord, the promises that are all for us, but the possibilities, the plan, God, excites us to be a part of what you are doing. And we just praise you, God. We adore you and we magnify you in this moment. And not only this moment, but God, for the rest of our lives, we will hold fast to the profession of our faith. We've come too far now to turn around and even attempt to start over. We're just going to keep on pressing in Jesus' name. Amen. I almost felt like preaching for a minute right there. Amen. God bless you. Hey, Sister Darlene. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's turn back to Hebrews 6, and we're going to leap over a couple of verses and get going a little further. We didn't have a Celebration Academy last Sunday. It was Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to catch up a little bit. Hebrews 6 again. And as I stated to you when we got in there, there's a lot of just rich picking in Hebrews 6. And I wouldn't want you to miss it under any circumstances, because indeed the best of your life is yet to come. One of the things I wanted to encourage you from, we were right at verse 9 when we were talking about getting ready to talk at length about verse 9. And we went over verse 7 and 8 and what we wanted to talk about in that closing argument. And I kept thinking about it when I went back to the office week before last. Paul said something, you know, that we need to recognize that is really a safeguard for us as believers. And the critical thing I wanted to mention, and I thought about it then, I'm going to say it now before it passes me. Your whole life in Christ Jesus is really strengthened, sustained, and stabilized by the fact that you're a believer. Don't miss that. You don't have to be perfect yet. You don't have to do everything, you know, just so, but you got to believe. And because of that, it opens up every verse, every plan, every all of those things of God are for the believers. And that's why, you know, we talk about condemnation. For the believer, we don't have to settle or get unsettled by that, because we're believers. And when people say to us, well, how you know that work? I just believe it. And they say, well, you can't prove it. I don't have to prove it. He proves it. I just believe it. And so when we got to verse 8, the thing I wanted to remind you of was in the letter that Paul writes to the church, he says, listen, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, those who believe. And so when we look at the latter part of verse 8, and he talks about condemning the field and you know, it's of no value. If in fact, and because in fact, you are believers, you don't have that to fear. And one of the things I think will certainly help the Christian life is when we have a reverent fear of God, but not a regretting fear of God. In other words, to think that God's just going to get me. And, you know, I was telling the Wednesday crowd when we were down there, we have a God who loves us. And so we don't have to try to threaten people into Christian salvation by preaching hellfire and brimstone messages. We don't have to threaten people that you're going to all go to hell if you don't. We don't have to do that because God didn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. We can tell people just about how much God loves them. And I've come to believe this. If love won't convince you, nothing else will. Fear ain't going to really do it. You just sit up there and tell everybody we're all going to hell. That ain't going to help us want to join the church or give our life to Christ. But it's the love of God. Paul says to the church in the Ephesian letter, he said, listen, we have a gracious God who loves us. And it's my responsibility as God's chosen vessel for this time to tell you the plan of God. And that plan is a sure plan. It's a beautiful plan. It is that you would come to know the favor and grace of God. You know, if somebody tell you that when you get home, you're going to get a whooping, you slow down getting home. Amen. If somebody say, well, you know, when you go around that next corner, they're going to beat you badly about the head and shoulders. You're like, well, how soon do I have to go around that? You avoid that. And if you think all God wants to do is cast you into the sea of fire, you're not going to come unto him, all you that hate, you know, you're going to say, well, what difference would it make? And we hear people say that. Well, going to church ain't going to make no difference. We all going to hell anyway. No, not. It's not true. Not for me, at least. Y'all do what y'all feel led to do. I'm trying to get in. And so he said that's what's going to happen. Then as we were starting to engage in it, he says in verse 9, the New Living Translation, he says, listen, he said, we are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. You got to be confident about that. How many of you, honestly, and you can think about it a couple of seconds, not long now because tick, 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 but how many of you really, as wonderful as life may be, or as wonderful as life has been, how many of you honestly wouldn't have a problem serving God in a greater capacity or doing greater things or even to expand upon the great thing? I mean, you know, you're growing. You know, we've been together a while. But he says, you know what? I'm confident, and I want you to be confident that there are better things. And that's why we have the ministry of exhortation. All of us should be encouraging each other to do better things. I mean, let's give ourselves a moment. Let's give each other their 10 or 15 minutes of fame and glory. Say, you know, you did a real wonderful thing there, but there's more. You know, I say it all the time. I really believe that God does not have a problem with us desiring more. Paul is saying that. He said, listen, we're confident that the God who blessed you and gave you and secures you, you're meant for better things. How many of you have ever said that to somebody? Come on, you're better than that. Come on, you can do better than that. You know, well, I mentioned, again, these military people, you know, we come up with sayings and you live around the military long enough. There's an acronym for everything. But one of the things we used to say when I was stationed down in Georgia, and we were in a rapid deployment unit, which means we're always going places and always doing things. We would always tell each other, you know, well, as good as you've been, you still ain't good enough. Because it's always changing. I mean, if you do your best on a job, you do know when you come back to work tomorrow, you still got to be better. And there's always that up and coming young person they just hired and they're trying to get your job. Yeah, they tell you, man, you know, show me everything you know so I can outdo you. And you say, okay, I'll show you half of what I know, and you figure it out from there. But the reality is you're meant for better things. And notice what he says. And it's so encouraging to me to share it with you. Those things that come because you're saved. That's why God is doing it, because you're saved. And the evidence ought to be clear that we are a different people because we're saved. We're very familiar with Paul's easy rendition of it. He says, listen, old things are passed away and all things are becoming new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus says you must be born again. That's a new possibility. If you could start over, wouldn't you do a lot of things different? Even if you did all good things, wouldn't you do them better? Yeah, most of us would. No matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, we can still look at points in our life and say, man, right there, I could have did something different. I could have did it better. I could have given it more effort. You know, every now and then we get a little lazy. You know, we get a little tired. You know, say, well, I'm just going to do enough to get done. If you can go back to that moment, it would change a lot of things. He said, that's what's meant for you. The plan of God is for you to excel in better. And that's good news. Amen. All right, let's go over to the Ephesian letter for just a second. Chapter 5, please. Everybody there? Almost. Smartphone users have been there 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Use your inside voice. Verse 10, try to find out what is pleasing to God. Try to find out what's pleasing. How do you do that? Seek his counsel. Pray. How many of you, when you get up in the morning, ask God to use you? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But, I mean, that's what you should do. How many of you ever get stuck and say, Lord, what should I do now? Get to that little crossroad in the day or that moment of indecision or a little bit of a hesitation kicks in. You say, well, Lord, what do I do here? Try to find out what pleases God. Live your life in such a way that you are liked, that you are attractive to those who are looking for salvation on the job. They're looking for saved people. Is there anybody here that's still saved? They're coming to work. They're walking around. And you know, this society that we're living in is waxing worse and worse. You hear about the crime, you hear about the foolishness, and I believe that there are still those who are looking for somebody that stands out to the glory of God. You ever been in a place where you say to yourself, what in the world is wrong with people? We have to be the difference makers. Jesus asked a question of his disciples, a very famous question. You can preach around it all day long. He says, who do they say I am? What's the report on me? What is the character that they're speaking of concerning me? You do know that people talk about you, don't you? Yeah. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But try to change what they say by being honest, loving. You know, because if people hear contrary things about you, they'll say, oh, no, that ain't the so-and-so I know. She's not like that, or he's not like that. Obviously, you must be talking about somebody else. Why? Because they're living their life pleasing God. That lady was nice to me. She helped me. That gentleman, he's always been very open and caring. He's always had an encouraging word. You work in places where people have their scripture, little sayings and little poems. And you ever get up behind people and read their bumper stickers? That bumper sticker say a lot about them. You know, you pull up behind somebody with a bunch of Confederate sayings on their car, you're probably saying, you know, I'm not going to ask him for directions. Or you pull up with somebody that has anti-Semitic statements on the back of their cars or just unsavory things, you'd probably say to yourself, ain't that a shame? Have you ever been around people and you say to yourself, what a backwards individual that is? But then you get behind some people and they have honk if you love Jesus. You honk and then they give you the hand sign. You say, no, they didn't read their bumper sticker. Or you go up to a person and they're nice. You go to a cash register or the hostess. You can kind of tell. They're trying to figure out a way. And what we have to do as Christian believers, the thing I was telling the Wednesday group is that those contrasts and conflicts are real for everybody. There's not a person in this room that does not have to fight through every day. Why? Because you have an adversary. The devil ain't going to leave you alone. You ever had that let devil leave me alone moment? Everything's going just fine, and the devil kicks in, and you said, you better go. And somebody said, you talking to me? You said, no, I'm not talking to you. It happens. That's why the Bible says you have to be steadfast. That's why Paul says, press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. That's what's meant for you. And you don't have to be the preacher or the deacon or the trustee or the pastor. Just be the disciple of God, and these things are yours. Everybody. He said, you got to try to figure out what pleases God. And you got to pause to do that. You should have early morning meditations. Really, you should. You should start every day off spending some time with God. No matter if you, I know that some of you are quite busy, but you do know that you get in a hurry because you delay. Yeah. Some people, Pastor, as soon as I get up, I got to get up. Well, change what time you get up. And in order to effectively change what time you get up, you got to change what time you go to bed. And in order to effectively change what time you got to go to bed, you got to learn how to slow down. There's a study I was reading the other day. I like to read stuff. And the study says that one of the reasons there are so many people in these United States that have sleeping disorders is because we use our bed for the wrong purpose. How many of you have televisions in your room? How many of you watch TV laying in bed? It's going to mess up your sleep patterns. Because your body doesn't realize. Now think about it. When we were small, like my little grandboy here, when we laid you in the bed, what were we laying you in the bed for? Go to sleep. Lay down and go take a nap. That's what we did. How many of you ever had grandma say, if y'all don't stop playing in that bed, go to sleep? Because that's, you know, we get in the bed, we want to bounce around and stuff. Grandma said, don't make me come back there. Because them old beds had them old springs, and they'd give you away. Little did we know that was heard all the way up in the living room. Grandma said, what y'all doing back there? Nothing. Well, what's that noise I hear? I don't know. Okay, don't make me come back there and find out. And so we have accustomed ourselves to doing we eat in the bed. How many of y'all eat in the bed? Come on, thank you very much. Got them little trays. And see, they made stuff for us. And now when we get into bed, our body don't know. Bed means sleep. And so mentally, we're thrown off. And so when we go get into bed, we don't go get into bed to go to sleep. We go get into bed to watch TV. The husband is watching his program, and the wife is watching her program. The children are watching their program. When I grew up, we had one television in the house. It was in the living room. And if they saw you nodding off, what did mama say? Go and get into bed. You sit up here sleeping. He said, I ain't sleep. She said, well, you look sleep. Go. And before you got into bed, good, you're like. And so now we can't get up to meditate with God because we're in a hurry. We went to bed, tried to watch that last 15 minutes of Scandal. What us going to do now that the season finale is over? Harrison's going to be dead. What are we going to do? It's just terrible. And so the reality is, to meditate with God, we need that. We need to get up in the morning and not say, good God is morning, but good morning, God. Get up in the morning and take 10 minutes, 10 quality minutes, to just think on the goodness of the Lord and to take verse 10 of Ephesians 5 in the consider, try to figure out what I need to do to please God. My grandmother used to say that to us when we were young children. Whenever we did something, she'd say, you know, God ain't pleased. And we need to be doing that. Before we say things to people or do things or engage in a matter, we need to say, you know what, is this going to make God happy? I have a book I've read, and I think I've recommended it to you before, and that's what it's called, God Pleasers. You know, learning how to please God. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, do that. And then go back and look at what he says in verse 1. He said, if you follow God's example in everything you do, why? Because you're his children. Every one of you in here that is a parent or godparent or a child, have a parent or relative or mentor, that's how you learn to do everything you do. Because you followed somebody's example. Bad habits or good habits. None of us come here with any habits or any information. Everything we learn because we saw somebody do it. How many of you remember asking that question? How do you do that? How many of you had this happen to you? Do as I say and not as I do. That enticed you all the more. Anytime you say that to a child, they say, okay, that must be something I really might enjoy. He said, listen, you got to understand something. You're the children of God. And listen, you can't take this verse and then try to jump over there in John and say, it does not yet appear, but we shall be. No, you got to live this. You are not the devil's children. You're God's children. Amen. Now, I wouldn't give the devil his due. He says, you got to do this because you are. And Jesus gives us the way to do it. He said, let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, that which you've seen me do. How can you see if you don't pay attention? You'll never learn if you don't pay attention. You ever had anybody teach you and say, excuse me, pay attention here. Take notice, this is important. And what we fail to do becomes our failure. When we don't exercise love, when we don't exercise attention to detail or learning, we become victims of our own failings. And so he says, here's what you've got to do. He says, you're going to have to make an effort to follow God's example. Jesus did it. Jesus told the disciples, pray like this. He said, and when you do this, those were examples. And in the Christian church, that's what we need to be doing, following God's examples. Love thy neighbor is not optional. It is a requirement of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not optional. That's a requirement of God. Tithing, worship and praise, service, those are not options. Well, you know, I don't mind going, but I can't do no overtime. I can't. No, that's not what God said. When God tells us to care one for the other, that's what he means. And so when we get to the point in our lives that we are seeking discipleship life, these are the things that God says we have to do. And we should say amen. Because if we don't say amen, then we are in big trouble. Okay? Let's go to Colossians, if you will. And we want to go to chapter 2. Thank you. Everybody there? And we're going to verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Now, God has done that, hasn't he? I got two amens. I'm going to have to wait on the rest of y'all. He said, listen, you were. He didn't say you are. What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, except Didn't say except, did he? So what are you talking about, Reverend? I'm telling you that he's cut it away. They're gone. Any of y'all ever had a real bad illness that lingered? And when you finally got better, you know how you felt? Any of y'all have respiratory illnesses, allergies and stuff? You know, it's hard on y'all right now, isn't it? You pollen victims. Y'all walking around looking like bandits. With y'all those things on, going outside, cutting the grass. I said, look at so-and-so, that mask on. Hey, how you doing? Had to breathe your own breath. And you say, oh, God, this is much here. I can't do this. You know, and you can't work in the garden. You can't cut the grass. You know, when you cut the grass, you know, you got to pull up the windows and make sure that don't, you know, whenever this season comes, it's hard on you because you have respiratory. Any of y'all have asthma? Yeah, asthma's tough. Bronchitis, that's worse. My oldest son has asthma, and it was hard on him when he was little, had that little thing with him and stuff, you know, and he thought that he was, you know, just so kind of, some kind of special. Because I said, let me tell you something, that don't keep you from getting a whooping. I got asthma. I know you do. And figure out how to breathe under these stressful conditions. But the reality is, you know, when you finally get relief, you know, when this season, and it'll pass, you know, it's going to rain hard enough a few times and the trees will stop blooming. And it's pretty, I mean, to see the trees blooming and all, but all that stuff is flying around and your car's turning gold and stuff like that, you know. And so when you finally get relief, you say to yourself, whoa, hallelujah. That's what this feels like. To know your sins have been cut away and you're no longer suffering. That's why we praise God. I've said it before. We should never have to fabricate reason to praise God. Grandma Nim was right. It may sound backwards. It wasn't grammatically correct, maybe. But when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, and it has nothing to do with the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the money in the bank, the children. It is simply that your sins have been carried away. That's good enough right there. Every time you think about the Lord suffering at Calvary's cross, you ought to say, whoa, thank you. You know, we were talking several weeks ago about having them ooh-wee blessings. I've been checking Facebook. We're running down on the ooh-wees now. We're down about three people who still put up a ooh-wee every now and then. Y'all are so temporal. Y'all can't do nothing long term. But it's important to understand. He said, listen, this is what God has done to the church at Colossae. They needed to hear that. To the church in Lynchburg, we need to hear that. Church all over the world, we need to hear it. He said, listen, you were dead. Some of us used to be scared to die. We can relate to what dead means. Dead is final. You were dead in your sins. Notice what he said. He didn't say you were dead because of economic conditions. He didn't say you were dead because of education. He didn't say you were dead because you weren't popular. He said you were dead because of sin. You know, sin kills like nothing kills. We're going to all die of something. And that's just true. I mean, there's no way to get around that. That's not what Paul mentions to the church of Colossae. He doesn't stand as a physician to give them a prognosis on a medical term. He says, listen, what's going to kill you is sin. And you were dead. He told the church at Rome, he said, you know what? I am so glad that at just the right time. How many said just the right time? How many of y'all got saved at just the right time? Probably should have been 10 minutes earlier for most of us. Yeah, another 10 minutes would have made a difference. But the reality is, he said, listen, you were dead. But watch this. It changes so quickly. He said, then God made you alive. Nudge your name and tell him, I know that's right, huh? But you know what? It's the mindset. Because what happens to a lot of us is that we don't have the right mindset. We don't have the right mindset. listen, let's be honest. When we were younger, and some of us came into church young, you know, when we were younger, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, that kind of age. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on when you 14, 15 years old. And the right mindset as it relates to God is probably not real high on your priority list when you're a teenager. Probably not real high. You know, we're probably still in that stage where they're making us go to church and making us do this and make, you know, and a lot of us have declared our future foolishness of independence by saying, boy, when I get old enough, how many of y'all made that statement? When I get old enough, I ain't going no more. Okay, two of us. That's just two or three. Thank you. The rest of y'all is so sanctified. Thank you very much. I mean, come on, we just made up our mind. This church thing ain't going to work for me. What'd you say? You got a whooping and couldn't say it. No, I'm just kidding. You never had that attitude. Move on up one more pew. The reality is those things are the conflicts that we go through. And so when we don't have the right mindset, we're not going to have the right manifestations. If you don't think it, it ain't going to happen. Yes, ma'am, you're going to say something. So in other words, you was po. Yeah, P-O po. Church was really, yeah. And I understand that. I'm being silly. But I know exactly what you're saying because it has a lot to do with who trains us. Going back to what Paul just told the church at Ephesus, it's the examples. If you lived in a house where you're mom, dad, or relatives, you know, because sometimes families share it together. If they read the Bible, you read the Bible. If they prayed, you prayed. If they blessed their food, you blessed your food. If mama went to church and was a willing worker and helping hands club, you going with her because she ain't going to leave you home along with them little boys down in the alley. Come on here. You ain't staying here. Come on. Little roughnecks around here smelling around my fence. Come on. That's what my grandmother used to do. She used to get all the girls and keep them from the boys. What y'all doing around there, them boys? Whenever the boys came in the alley, my grandma said, go around there, gals, to come on up here. Ain't got no business around a bunch of boys. Y'all, how many of y'all grew up with the old boys play with boys and girls play with girls? Yeah, that was the rule. And so that's what happened. And my grandmother would send us out in shifts. All right, let the girls go on out for a while. Y'all boys come on in and help grandma. And we like looking around. What? She's like, come on in here. And the reality is, if that's what you grew up with, that's what you're going to do. That's why they didn't let us make decisions. We didn't never get to decide whether we was going. We used to get set up sometimes. Y'all want to go? No. Well, you're going. Like, why y'all ask us that question? Really? She said, you know what, you little heathens? Y'all need to go to church. And we went. And we did this. We did the same thing when it was time to go. Go in there, wash your face, wash under your arms, and come on. We set up in church. We didn't have no mindset for it, but we were there. And that's what the reality, the grandma's philosophy was, you sit here long enough, you going to get it. So we did. And if you don't have that mindset for it, it doesn't matter what we say until we can penetrate that defense mechanism called mm-mm. And everybody got it. We got some mm-mm right now. Look at all these empty mm-mm. That's all it is, mm-mm. I don't care what time. We can change the time of church. We can change who's teaching. We can change. We can do all of them things, and we're going to still have mm-mm. And so he says, you know what? You're going to have to realize something. You were dead. And see, let me tell you something. You cannot convince people of this verse of Scripture because they're alive. Because sin is not the issue for some people. Please understand that, beloved of God. For some people, sin ain't going to never be the issue. They're going to party like it's 1999 and it don't matter. They're going to do what they're going to do because sin ain't an issue for them. You can tell them they're sinning. They go, yeah, I know that. You can tell them they're dead in their trespass. They said, and, but I'm here and you ain't no different than me. How many of you have been told that by some profound sinner? You ain't no different than me. We grew up together. We all do the same thing. Birds of a feather. But the reality is I have a mindset. That's what changes it. It's the mind. You can put 50 people in a room and the mindsets are what makes the difference. That's why Grandma was right. Everybody talking about him and ain't going. They got a different mindset. Let this mind be also in you. You have the mind of Christ. As a man thinks or a woman, so you are. If you think faith, you'll have faith. If you think worship, you'll worship. It doesn't matter what the music, it doesn't matter who sings. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And when you don't have the mindset, you're not going to meditate on God. You're not going to get up in the morning and meditate because God's not on your agenda. Some of us don't think about God till lunchtime or breakfast biscuit time. We got up and we spent 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, and until we sit down and go, Lord, thank you for this breakfast we're about to receive. That was all the time we spent with God. Until lunchtime, Lord, thank you for this ham and cheese sandwich. Amen. Until dinner time, Lord, thank you for this food we're about. That's how we do God. And if that's all the doing you're doing, you ain't doing. You need to spend time. Y'all ain't talking to me. You need to spend a lot of time with God so your life can change. You are not going to change in Christ with 10-minute increments. That's the total of your time with God. A total of about 10 minutes. Because we don't go to church every day. But you say you're the church. We don't praise God every day. But you say you sing on a choir. We don't have a heart for loving people. But you want to be an usher. Something's wrong. It's the mindset. I'm not saying you got to walk around all day long. But more of your day would be nice. We can't get people to pray around here. We can't get folk to come to study. We can't get folk to tithe. We can't get folk to worship. Where's the church? Neither the people that are in the church. It ain't the people that are outside the church that we're not getting to do that stuff. I don't expect them to do that stuff. But we come in the church with an attitude that says we don't have a mind for God. It's not right. He said, listen, you were dead. Let me be honest with you. I mean, come on, you be honest with me. Let's be honest with each other. It'll work better. If you died and can know something about it and you got a chance to come alive, wouldn't you do a whole lot? Come on now. I mean, you'd say, man, listen, I know what I know now. I'm on this. That's how you ought to think about this verse. Guilty. How many of you have been to court, had to face a guilt or not guilty verdict, and it went in your favor? And you knew you were guilty. You say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you have had God do something miraculous? I'm not talking about, you know, growing another arm. I'm just saying the mere fact that you know that if things were fair, you wouldn't even be here. Because you put yourself in those places and had the audacity to forget that God did that. The Bible says we ought to live our lives as testimonies. He told that woman, he said, go and sin no more. And I bet you, Lord help her, she probably did the best she could. But sin don't go away. It's a very present trouble. But you know what? We were dead. And again, we come into the house of God and we got to be pushed and prodded and pulled and pampered and conned into saying amen. A hallelujah, a thank you, Jesus. I told him Sunday, Those of you who, God bless you, thank you if you got up early in the morning. Thank you if you came to 11 o'clock. Thank you if you come to anything. I appreciate that. But I stood up there in the church we were in on last Sunday for resurrection. I said to myself, what in the world? Where are the saints? This is our day. It was nice to look out here the other Sunday. I saw Brother Thomas bringing some chairs around. I said, ooh, this is a good Sunday. And then the Holy Spirit said, come back next Sunday. Don't let that balloon go too high. My point is, we were dead and made alive with Christ. And Jesus says, I love when he said this. He said, that which I am, you're going to be even greater. Aren't you waiting on the church to come into its greatness? Trustees and preachers and deacons and servants to come into their greatness? That is our promise. It's our mindset. And here go Reverend. He's in the start again. Hey, that lady go. You know, I did it. I sit back in the church when I was a young fella. And when they prayed too much, I mean, like, come on, really? I mean, God even got to be tired by now. You know, when church went too long, which really, looking back on it, really wasn't too long. I mean, it was, you know, pastor would preach, and I'm like, come on, man. Especially when, you know, I mean, I was honest. Y'all don't be honest. Oh, y'all like Minister Dixon. Y'all always had the right mindset. Well, I didn't. And look at me now. The Lord changed me. But I mean, come on. I used to sit back there and come on. You know, the pastor would get up and do the invitation. I'm like, man, ain't nobody coming. Let us go, man. He kept saying, is there one? I mean, come on, Reverend. They ain't coming. You know, the football game on. You know, God didn't strike me down. God knew he had a plan. I'm sure when we all get to heaven and we're sitting around one day at the picnic table, God going to say, Leroy, I remember when you used to sit in the back of the church. And everybody else can go, amen. Because that's what all of us did at some point. We didn't have the right mindset. But then there were times when I got it. And then my friends started not liking me because my mindset started changing. I started wanting to go and hanging out. And they'd be like, man, come on, we go. I said, man, I'm going back to church. And the football was mine. And the basketball and the baseball bat. And they said, you know, man, leave your stuff out. I said, my daddy said, if I'm not out here, my stuff can't be out here. Which he did say that. He said, I didn't buy that for him. I bought it for you. And he would do inventory sometimes. Hey, boy, where that football at? Somebody stole it. How come it popped back up again? Oh, they brought it back. You know. But the point is, the mindset. So he said, listen, you were dead. Now, again, nobody really explained to me, like I'm trying to explain to you, Colossians chapter 2 and this particular verse. Nobody, no, they really didn't. And I've said this before, and God bless my friend, Brother Jesse. He'll be along shortly. He said it, Pastor, nobody told us. We did, Mary had a little lamb. We did, you know, David and Goliath. That's fine, because that was our mindset at the time. But as we matured, when we got the young adult church, you know, we went from the primary and all that kind of thing. When we got the young adult church, we really made it hard for the people who were trying to teach us. Our hormones and stuff were going on. We were boyfriending and girlfriending. We weren't really paying attention to the people who were teaching us and stuff. In fact, my young adult church leader said, you know what, as long as y'all don't make too much noise and disturb everybody else, we're fine. She gave up on us. We were passing notes and, you know, winking and blinking. You know, she said, you know what? Y'all don't want to do this? Okay. A couple of times, you know, we kind of wanted to, you know. And she said, oh, so y'all want it today? And we're like, yeah, we know we got to. Yeah. And that's because the pastor was sitting in the back of our class. We weren't crazy. He snuck around like that. You know, like, yeah, Miss McBride, read that again. The reality is mindset. He said, you were dead. Now watch this. He said, you were made alive with Christ. We're in verse 13. He forgave all. Let me tell you something. Don't let nobody hold you hostage about your former sins. Don't let nobody do that to you. You don't deserve it, and it's ungodly. It doesn't matter what you did. All means all. And this all is from God. This ain't the pastor's all. This ain't the deacon's. This ain't the, you know, the ladies in the white suits and nothing like. This is the God of your salvation all. And it ties in with what he tells you in the Hebrew writing. That this comes because of salvation. This is the benefit of God. It ain't no benefit you got to tarry or wait for or go to consecration or get in the right line and give you money. This is just a matter of you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you're saved. And your sins are forgiven. All of them. No matter what grandma thinks or auntie thinks or your cousin thinks or your husband thinks, some of us are going to be tormented by the very people who love us for the rest of our lives over stuff that they just can't get over. I'm so sorry for you. Get over it. God did. You should too. Amen. And listen, ain't none of us got so many friends that we can't stand one more. Ain't none of us so wealthy that somebody ain't going to have to loan us something somewhere. In fact, the house you live in, you borrowed the money. The car you drive, you borrowed the money. The school you went to, you borrowed the money. You ain't have no money. You ain't gonna never have that much money. And if you do, it does not reflect in our tithe and offering report. He said, let me tell you something. All your sins are forgiven. Whether you can stomach it or not, God forgave people. I just can't see how she still, God forgave her. I tell you, there's been a lot of days in my life when my first wink of the morning came, I said, Lord, thank you that I woke up alive. My uncle used to tell us we're going to wake up dead, which I ain't figured that one out yet. He said, boy, y'all going to mess around and wake up dead. Now, I'm going to tell you, when that happens, I'm going to get him. But I thank God that I'm alive. Why? Because all of our sins. What does the Roman letter say? The wages of sin is death. Aren't you glad God keeps stepping up saying, I got this? You ever been to the store and swipe your card and it wouldn't go? And you get that little nervous feeling? You know, the card readers go bad sometimes. You know, you swipe your little card and they go, it didn't take. And you start thinking, how much money I got in the bank? Say, try it again. And you go real slow this time. Like that's going to put money back in your account because you all got money. And said, no, sir, you got to go a little faster than that. My wife and I, we went on vacation. We get to the hotel, the villa. We got this little condo thing. And so we go to check in. The guy said, we need to swipe your card for incidentals and stuff. I said, all right. And he said, excuse me, sir. You got to do it again. I said, do it. Oh, okay. He said, nope, didn't take. I said, hey, man, something wrong with y'all machine. He said, try it again. He said, it won't take. I said, I tell you what, I know ain't nothing wrong with this card. So I said, I get my other one. So, and it was fine. I said, okay. So I went straight to the room. I called the bank. I said, hey, something wrong with y'all machines or something? And they said, is there a problem? I said, of course there's a problem. I just tried to use my card, and it wouldn't take. She said, well, hold on. And she said, are you out of town, Mr. Mitchell? I said, duh, yeah. She said, well, that's why. She said, because you were trying to do something outside of your, you know, general area, and it knows your spending habits. So it was really a safeguard. And I said, well, anybody ask y'all to do all that for me? Y'all make me look bad. Well, you know, it's just that you're kind of far from where you live. So she said, but everything's fine now. I'll go ahead and put that you're on vacation. I said, are you serious? She said, oh, yeah, we do that. And they do. They really do. I thought she was trying to fake me out. But it is smart that they do that because she said, you know, your spending habits are generally in this little area. She said, now that you're way down yonder, we just want to make sure your card wasn't gone. So just to make sure that the guy at the desk didn't get it twisted, I went back down and said, I think we got it straight now. because I don't want you to be thinking that's a bum, you know. So he said, oh, no, it happens all the time. Not to me. So the point of the matter is you get this feeling. So when God has forgiven us, man, that's joy. And some people may never get over that. Some people may always think you don't deserve it. And don't let that happen. Don't be tormented by that. God is always stepping up saying, I got this. No matter what it costs, I got it. No matter what you've done, I got it. And not just this time. How many of y'all ever borrowed something from somebody and borrowed something from somebody, and then they call you next time, you say, don't call me no more. You done maxed out on me. You know, I can't help you. Not God. Never will happen. And there are people who preach that you can exhaust grace. You can't exhaust grace. You can't exhaust mercy. It's from everlasting to everlasting. You ain't going to never outlive it. You can't outlive it. It's going to be here. Why? Because he has taken away the sins of the world. If you move to Mars, it still counts. Let us know how it is up there, but that's what he does. Now, how much time I got? Am I close? Yeah, I'm all right. Watch what he says. He says this. This is beautiful. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. Wow. Cancel the record. How many of you would like to have your record canceled concerning earthly things? Yeah, there's some stuff in our records. You do know that all of society, all of what we do here in this particular setting of life is based on your history, not your promise. If man could see your promise, you'd never be denied. But it's based on your history. How many of you know your credit score? You should. Everybody should know your credit score. It's important to know that. There are little things out there that will help you get that. You can go to Don't pay for it. It's free. You can get it free. But you should know your credit score. And you should look at your credit report at least a couple of times a year so you make sure stuff ain't wrong. I looked at mine. And there's so many things that like, ain't got. I said, I don't know these. What is this? And it's hard to get some of that stuff undone. Really, it is. So you have to stay on it. Because once it's on there, it takes some. It's almost like an act of Congress to fix a lot of it. I mean, I got about 20 errors in it. I'm like, what in the world? And obviously, whoever that person is that's got a name like mine has been living a pretty good life. But I'm working on it. But you have to know that. And so what I'm trying to tell you is your whole function in this society is based on your past. If you had late payments and stuff, and so you go to buy a car or, you know, your life insurance, auto insurance, all that stuff now is based on even employment. They pull your credit report when you go to get a job. Now, I think that's unfair. In fact, there are a couple of lawsuits pending in certain states for them to stop doing that. But it's about your history. And how many of you have ever tried to defend that what you were, you ain't no more? And they say, well, I'm so sorry. But that's not God. That's the good news. And some of us know that God has blotted out some things. Because we sat in that room waiting on them to come back and say approved or disapproved, thinking this ain't going to work, this ain't going to work, this ain't going to work. And they come back and said, okay, you ready to go? And you go, thank you, Jesus. And you say, hurry up, let's go before they do it again. Because the reality is, what? He's done it. He canceled the record. If you can get some things off your record, woo, thank you, Lord. Wouldn't you do it? High school, college, job. How many of you have reviews on your job, evaluations? You go in there, you sit down and say, well, thank you for coming by today, but here's your report. And they tell you to read it first, and then they say if you have any discrepancies or disagreements. In the military, we used to do concur, non-concur, which was fun because if you put non-concur, it didn't change nothing. They just said, okay, just we'll note your disagreement, but this is going to headquarters. And the fact of the matter is, if you could erase some stuff, if you could get that off the record. How many of you have been told that? Listen, you can get this taken off. We might be able to go forward. And that's what God has done. That's why there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But how many of you know that once you have been forgiven, you need to live different? Go and sin no more. You need to change. Paul says what? It is by the transformation of the mind. Change the way you think, you're going to change the way you think. It doesn't take a whole lot to do that. I got into a debate with some preachers the other day. We were talking about church and Christians and stuff. And a couple of them guys don't get it. And I said, God, Doc, y'all missing the point, man. You got to work on their minds. And let them give up on themselves. Keep working on the mind. Ever play the mind game? Yeah, you know, you sit down and you do things. And your mind play tricks on you. You know, you can make your mind will do interesting things, really. It's really far more superior than you might even realize if you give it a chance to do its thing. But you got to give it some base. You got to give it some foundational stuff to kind of work with. You ever, you know, and I know those of you who are smartphone people, internet people and stuff like that, people are always sending you these little mind games where you got to look at something and see how quick you can notice something. And it's amazing if your mind is about three quarters sharp, you can get most of that stuff. But then it's another level of intelligence where you have to start doing some higher thinking. But aren't you glad that Christianity and God ain't like that? This ain't too deep. This is really about the foolishness of preaching. But if you have the wrong mindset, and to change how you think doesn't take a whole lot. Most of us live in a place called denial. And we take up residence there based on foolishness. We just won't give ourselves a chance. I can't do that. How many of you ever told yourself you can't do something that you hadn't even tried yet? You just said, I can't do that. And then how many of you have ever challenged yourself and then did something and felt right proud about the fact that I did that? That's what if you change the way you think means. Don't tell yourself, I can't go to church every Sunday. Don't tell yourself, I can't tithe. Don't tell yourself, I can't praise. I'm not a worshiper. I just don't do all that. Give yourself a chance. Find a way to enjoy it. Bible says what? The fellowship of the saints. We long for his appearing. Anticipate God. Just like Christmas. Just like birthdays. How many of you have ever had an occasion coming up and you're trying to guess what people are going to do for you? You get a little excited. You say, I know they're up to something. They say, well, come on, run to the store. You say, oh, they're taking me out of the house. So when I come back, it'll be a surprise party. You know, you start and then you come back and it don't happen. You're like, okay, wait a minute. They're going to do something else. And then by the time that they get late, you start getting mad at people. Oh, y'all didn't do nothing for me. You said you didn't want us to do nothing. They took you at your word. 3 months ago, remember we asked you, what do you want us to do for your birthday? Child, I don't do nothing. I'm too old for that stuff. And then when it happened, you'd be like, well, y'all could have done something. No. We anticipate. So that's how it is with God. If you're going to long for his appearing, it's a mindset. If you want to pray and worship and grow and learn, it's a mindset. He said, listen, the record's canceled. You don't have anything against you anymore. Whom the Lord has set free. It's free indeed. So he says, well, that's what's happening. And I got 5 minutes. Okay, turn with me, if you will, to Titus. Titus chapter 3, please. Your record is clear. Amen. I thought I'd get more than that. I mean, it's done. And so look what he says in Titus 3. Everybody there? And then we'll pause and give you a chance to get ready for the next thing. He said, listen, verse 4. God, our Savior, showed us his kindness and love. He saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit. A new life. Gave it to us. Wow. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to look for it. He just gave it to you. A new life. And he said, look, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. The Paraclete, come alongside and help us. Help us. Why? Because we've never done this before. We've never gone this way before. We've never felt this way before. He did it for you, for every one of you. He washed away your sins. David says, created me a clean heart. Wash me. Make me new. Give me back my joy. I want to feel good like I used to feel. And he said, that's what God's done. He said, you know what? God, our Savior, has already done it. Not he's doing it. He didn't say he's planning to do it. He didn't say he's thinking about doing it. He didn't say just for some of you. He did it for all of us. Showed us his kindness. Anybody ever showed you a kindness? And you say what? Thank you. That was so nice of you. Showed us his kindness. That's why I said earlier, we don't have to preach hellfire and brimstone and tell everybody that they're going to burn in hell. God is showing us kindness. Even right now, God is showing every one of you kindness. You're breathing. You got a reasonable portion of health and strength. When you rose this morning, you didn't have no doubt. That's God's kindness. I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. That's God's kindness. And because you're so wonderful, it's because he's so wonderful. It's not because of everything you've done. It's because of what he's done. How many of you know you can never do enough to pay him back? Never. You can't give him enough. You couldn't write enough checks. You couldn't sing loud enough. You couldn't sing often enough. You couldn't serve enough. You couldn't preach enough. You couldn't teach enough. You couldn't just tell your neighbor just nothing. But because of his kindness, because of his love, it's what he's done. We ought to be thankful and never stop being thankful. You know what he just told you earlier? I told you in the Hebrew letter, he said, listen, you were meant for better things. But again, as we used to say in the military, no matter how good you've been, you ain't been good enough. Some of us had a good day yesterday. Did everything wonderful, didn't cuss nobody out, didn't cut nobody off in traffic, didn't cheat nobody out their change, didn't fuss at our wife or husband, didn't snarl at nobody. We had a wonderful day. We honored our parents. We honored our friends. Beautiful you. But today is a new day. And Monday's coming. God help us. How many of you know that from one day to the next, you just never know? Haven't you ever had those moments when you felt bad for being bad? Yeah, I really believe that from what I can see here, based on what I know about those who are in this room, I really believe that every one of you understand that you were meant for better things. And I really believe you get up saying, you know what, my pastor's right. Pastor said something last week before last, whatever. I'm just going to give it a shot. But things happen, don't they? But then he says, God showed us his kindness and mercy. How many of you know he's long-suffering and compassionate and understanding? He's not a God that he doesn't recognize every infirmity or challenge that we go through. He's just like us. And he shows us kindness and takes away our sins over and over and over and over and over and over again. But he says to us, change the way you think so you can change the way you live. Because that's the plans I have for you. To prosper you and make you strong. And he said, listen, the blessing is from me to you. Don't let nobody tell you, You shouldn't be up in that church. You shouldn't be. Yes, you should. You should keep singing, keep ushering, keep serving, keep preaching, keep teaching, keep loving, keep whatever it is. Don't let nobody deny you because you're meant for better things. And better days are ahead in Christ Jesus. So he said, listen, you've got the help of the Holy Spirit. You have a new life. How many of you, when you get new things, treat it different? Amen. You get a new car, you park way over yonder. You get new furniture, you don't flop down on it. You know, you get new changes us. How many of you have been told by somebody, oh, you acting all new? Yeah, that happens. It happens to all of us. I was watching last Sunday. Some of y'all were spick and span, cleaning in the boat of health. Y'all were looking right sharp. Had your little Easter did his own. Fine. Y'all was walking around people. Hey, you wouldn't let nobody put no makeup on you. But you know what? That's going to wear out. It's going to wear down after a while. After about three wearings, you don't care no more. After about two family dinners, you don't care who sit at that table. You wish you hadn't put that plastic on there yourself after you get stuck to it a few times. I never understood the plastic on the furniture thing. Still don't get that one. I mean, it's just, that is the most uncomfortable feeling. When you sit down and it's, you know, you're like, oh, can't do it. And it's not going to last forever. You do know that, right? Yeah. So what we do is we change our mindsets. When we change our mindsets, we're changing our life. And that's really what God wants you to do. Amen. All right, we're going to stop there. Did I help you a little bit? I try to. It makes me so happy to help you. Amen. Sometimes I just wonder who's going to help me. Didn't get no volunteers that time. Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all leaving me out there like that. Thank you very much. Let's pray together.